Chapter 15. Harvest. Papa gave lickings for lies. Rennie shivered thinking of him standing over her big and loud, the tyrant king. Now, how could he be proud of her? She had failed to make people like her family better. She'd been mean more than once. She had a stolen bracelet, almost stolen. She had lied about it even after she knew it was up to her to be good. But she'd made the garden live beautifully. If only Papa could see it. It was September and winemaking time. If only Papa could be home for that. But since he wasn't, they were skipping it. They didn't have the money to send for grapes. Anyway, Rennie was sorry. She liked grape stomping. Bread making wasn't so bad either. She wanted Papa to watch her do it. And she wanted him to call her a porcupine out loud. When he did that, it made her grumpiness seem not so bad. When she wanted Papa to hear about all her troubles and hard work, he would tell her that she was braver and smarter and kinder than she had been in June. "I need Papa," she said to herself over and over, "and if he punishes me, it will be worth it just to have him home." At school, they showed a film about the war. Roar after roar, the children craned their necks, eyes glued ahead. The big square screen loomed above them. Music cheered, the announcer's voice filled the room. "Valiantly, our boys will meet the enemy. We are ready for Hitler's army." In black and white, parades of German soldiers thrust stiff legs forward. "Tin men come alive. We must stop the march of evil forces," boomed the voice. "We must pray for our brave boys who have gone to fight. We must break the armies who would control the world." Outside, there was bragging about older brothers who joined up. Julie was the worst, sticking her nose in the air. "My brother Tom was one of the first ones. We're so proud of him. Daddy says there isn't a better thing a boy could do." Giorgio spoke up with vehemence. "Does your brother know what they've done to my father and Rennie's? They hate Hitler too, but now my father can't work in the mine. And Rennie's got arrested, but just because they're Italian, they do the same good work that everyone else does. My father says he'd be ashamed to be a Canadian soldier because of what they've done to us." Julie's eyes flamed with passion. "My brother's good. He would never hurt good people." Rennie could almost feel Papa's protective arms around her, but Julie's eyes were powerful. Rennie kept her voice low. "What did my father ever do bad?" She scanned the other children's faces. They had called her father a traitor, but Giorgio's speech seemed to have turned them silent. "I don't know," Julie shouted at Rennie. "It's my brother's fault. He didn't arrest your father. Maybe he doesn't even know about it. He was very upset." The kids were silent, looking at her and waiting for what Giorgio would say next. "Maybe you should tell him then." Giorgio didn't shoot it. He walked away with his shoulders slumped. Julie started crying brokenheartedly. The other kids wandered off. Rennie's fear fell away and a lump came to her throat. This was still Julie who loved her brother. Rennie swallowed the lump. Softly, she said, "Tom is good. I know it's not his fault. It's just soldiers, war." Julie sniffled hard and wiped at her eyes. "You're right, you know. Tom's gonna die because I lost his bracelet. I can't keep him safe anymore." Why hadn't Rennie thought of that before? She took a deep breath and then let it out. "You'll find it, Julie. I know you will." Luckily, the bell rang then, and nothing else had to be said. Now there was the only thing Rennie could think of. That afternoon, she looked over the rows of thick green tomato plants. They had grown above her head and were covered with brown red fruits, hundreds of them, that needed canning for winter. She held a pail in one hand and began picking. placing them gently on top of each other so as not to bruise them. "Papa, I'm learning to be good. I really am." It didn't take much thinking. Just wrap your fingers around a fruit without squeezing and carefully twist it off. She barely had to watch what she was doing. Instead, she kept glancing toward the corner where the bracelet was. How could she? Julie would be so angry to discover where it had been. But suppose Rick's sweater had disappeared? Suppose Rennie didn't have the tomatoes to bring back Papa? She took a long, hard swallow. Then she looked toward the windows of the house. Was anyone watching? No. She placed the pail on the ground. She was terribly jittery. She would have to be fast, because if she got caught, there would be trouble. She had to risk it. She had to set things right and let Julie know she understood her hatred and her sadness. She moved through the tall plants. Luckily, they could hide her, and hurried to the weed. She went to the ground and grabbed its stalk. She pulled with all her might. The roots came out, and she threw the weed to the ground. Down on her hands and knees, she stared, digging. Dirt was caking under her nails. Then Robbie came from around the corner of the house. Rennie jumped up. "What do we have to do in the garden?" Robbie asked. "Never mind, I'll do it myself. I'm used to it. Mama told me I had to help more, so I will." "Fine, time to be good." She controlled her fear and anger. She told him to pick tomatoes. "But you're not near the tomatoes," he pointed out. "I'm coming. Look, I've got a whole pail of them." He shrugged and set to work, but his impatience grew. In a minute, he was up, wandering around the edge of the garden, looking for worms or slugs or anything more interesting than tomatoes. Rennie prickled everywhere, but she kept quiet. "Oh, look at this one, Fat." He knelt by the torn-up weed and held up a thick earthworm. "Maybe there are more down there." "Robbie, tomatoes. Supper's almost ready." "Wait, how come this is dug up? You were digging it, weren't you? I bet you buried treasures down there." "Toad," she screamed inside herself, "I knew you didn't really want to help," but Robbie's mind was on the whole. He lifted out huge piles of dirt. She was scared. She felt stabbed all over, as if her quills had turned toward her. In a few moments, Robbie shouted, "Hey, look at this!" Her heart skipped a beat. But he was too fast for her, charging into the house, showing it off. She didn't know whether to go after him or to run away. But Mama was at the back door instantly. "Renetta," she ordered, "get in here." It was the first time she'd raised her voice to Rennie since Papa had gone. Rennie hurried in with explanations falling off her tongue. "But Julie was so mean to me, I had to bury it. But I was going to take it back in the morning. I forgot about it. With the switch in her hand, Mama pointed toward the stairs. "Straight to your room," came her furious words. "Oh, please, don't. I'll take it to Julie right now. I'll say I'm sorry 100 times. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have been mean just because she was. That's what makes wars." Heavily, Mama sat down. She was shaking with anger and something else. Her eyes were twisted with pain. Rennie couldn't turn away. "Renetta, you have heard Julia all summer, and you lied." "I couldn't help it." Rennie broke into sobs. For a long moment, Mama said nothing. Then she reached out her arms. "Come here," she whispered. Rennie seemed to melt right into her. Mama's arms were so warm around her. "It'll be all right. You can go to Julia's after supper."